Na 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 na. Yeah.
God, we're nerds.
It is the truth universally acknowledged that a person in possession of good headphones must be in want of a podcast. Welcome to Pride, Prejudice, and Podcasts.
Hi, I'm Mary.
Hi, I'm Kaylee.
And we both love Pride and Prejudice.
To a ridiculous extent.
Yes. We are back again. Hopefully the audio quality is now better because I have an actual microphone.
I don't.
Yeah, I will upload a screenshot to our Twitter with Kaylee's recording setup right now because it's hilarious.
It's not that bad. Okay, it's that bad.
Kaylee, it bounces. Do you see yourself?
No, I only see your face because, listen.
Okay, well, it is a pretty great face, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Kaylee, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about the Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
Yeah, we are. You might have heard us mention the Lizzie Bennet Diaries once or twice in, like, our first episode, because I mentioned how Lizzie Bennet Diaries is how I got into Pride and Prejudice, and so we thought, you know, it's high time we covered this.
Yeah, I got into Pride and Prejudice with 2005, so that's it. That's Ari is much more interesting, but it's fine.
Okay, so some background for what the Lizzie Bennet Diaries is. It came out in 2012. It ran from 2012 to 2013 because it's a YouTube series, so you can find it for free online. There are 100 episodes. Each episode is 3 to 5 minutes long, so it's not, like, too bad.
It's an easy watch. It's very fun. The format is...
It's so fun.
Very different from what we've seen before, but it's very much the 2012 or mid-2000s or mid-2010s, excuse me, of video bloggers on YouTube.
Yeah. Do you want to kind of, like, describe what this format is for people tuning in?
It's this, but with video.
It is, like, Lizzie is a vlogger.
Lizzie is a vlogger. So it's, if you don't know what vlogging is in the year is 2020, I'm sorry, here's a really poor explanation. It's when you take a video of either yourself or events in your life and post them to the internet in a fun way. It is a format in and of itself.
I assume in the year 2020 you understand.
Yes.
Like YouTubers. And I know, like, us saying, oh, Lizzie's a YouTuber, you're probably just like, oh god, this is not gonna end well, this is gonna be a bad show. It's great.
It's good years, good YouTube years,
because it's 2012. Like, this is, like, the height of mm-hmm. YouTube,
the
basically.
Height of YouTube.
Also, some fun facts, which I don't know, Kaylee, if you are aware of. You might be, because I think it's in a few video descriptions. This series actually won an Emmy.
It did?
Did you know about this?
I didn't know about this. I don't read the description.
They won an Emmy in 2013 for Outstanding Creative Achievement in Interactive Media.
Oh, okay.
And this was, like, a huge deal, because they were, like, the first web series to do so,
mm-hmm.
which was incredible for them.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you're watching an award-winning show. Before we get into our plot, rundown of the actors in this.
Yes, very important. Take it away, you know them better than I do.
Okay, so Lizzie is played by Ashley Clements, Darcy is Daniel Vincent Gord, Lydia is Mary-Kate Wiles, and Jane is Laura Spencer. Anyway, let's actually get into this now.
Getting into this, main difference, obviously, between this adaptation and other adaptations is the format. As we've said before, it is a web series vlog format on YouTube.
It's free to the public. If you do want your own copy, you can buy a DVD box set of it. Fun fact. I'm tempted.
Yes, I did see that. So that's one of the main differences between, and one of the really cooler differences, I think, between this adaptation and the other ones is, like, the other ones you have to go rent the movie if it's newer, or buy the movie if it's older, that kind of thing.
But it's YouTube.
But this is YouTube. You don't even need a subscription. You can just watch it. And that's really cool.
And then obviously, since we're talking about a difference from other adaptations, if we want to talk about closeness to the book, well...
I mean, it takes the characters in some of the situations.
It has the root story. It has the characters. It has their characterizations. Obviously, it's going to be different because it's a modern day adaptation. And they do change a lot to fit that format.
Mm-hmm.
But... it's a really good adaptation. Like, it still holds the, like, the, not, what am I trying to, like,
it
still
upholds
the core values.
The core values.
Yeah.
Which, as I saw, and I found out that somebody had written a thesis about how Lizzie Bennet Diaries is one of the better, truer adaptations of Austen's original work than others.
Which is so interesting.
Which is so
cool.
Because
it's a modern adaptation.
It's a modern adaptation. And it gets into how the focus of Austen's novel is on communication, and then this is also, because it interacts with both, the characters both interact on and technically off screen because they work on other social media platforms and they interact with the audience, communication also remains a big thing. And that's really cool, and I'm very proud of that person for writing their thesis on that. Good job. I don't remember what your name is. I closed the page.
Hey, if you're that person, please get into contact with us. We'd love to talk.
Please. It was written in 2016, and it was at for some college that started with a W.
Oh, yes, some college. Very helpful.
I'm really good at remembering important details.
So, I think a really fun thing about this adaptation is, like, I don't know how to word this correctly, like, the limit on characters. Does that make sense?
How do you mean?
We don't see a lot of people on screen, like, ever.
Oh,
we
yes.
We don't see anyone. So, let me try to start over with how I'm trying to say this.
Oh, I know. Okay, maybe. I don't know. So, the diaries are definitely from Lizzie's point of view.
Yes.
Much
they're
like the book.
Extremely biased. Like, Charlotte points out, Jane and Charlotte point out very early on, like, this is a very biased viewpoint on what is happening in our lives.
Well, yes. Yes, it is. But so is the book. But it's less apparent in the book mm-hmm. as it is in this, because you're not necessarily used to having to read into, essentially, who's narrating and the unreliable narrator
yeah.
of Austen's work.
Which Lizzie definitely is.
Oh, yeah. But in diaries, she is clearly an unreliable narrator. She is the one making and editing the videos. She chooses what
Charlotte's editing the videos for the first part.
For the first part, but then later she... Yeah, anyway. But you know what I mean.
Yes.
You see the point of view, and you know the point of view. And so other characters that are later introduced, like Darcy or Bingley or Caroline, you don't see them until they become super apparent and essentially, in most cases, interrupt the recording of these videos. And then
yeah.
Lizzie decides whether to cut or not to cut those interactions out. For the most part, she leaves them in. Like, Lizzie as a character leaves them in because she knows her audience will complain if they don't. But, like, as the actress and as the producers, they left it in because that's how you're going to get glimpses into the truth, so to speak, that Lizzie is
mm-hmm.
is experiencing.
And, like, with that, like, kind of expanding on what Kaylee is saying so it makes more sense to you, our audience, in these diaries, you really only see Lizzie and then Charlotte when she's there, Lydia and Jane, and we don't actually see another character in the videos until, like, episode 30, I think? When we are introduced to Ricky Collins and also Wickham, and, like, we don't see Darcy until the end of episode 59, like, the last seconds of 59, which we'll get into later, because I really want to talk about that.
I really want to talk about that, too.
It's, like, this really interesting thing is, like, the story is from Lizzie's perspective, and we have a focus on Lizzie, and we do not see a lot of characters until they become extremely relevant to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, it's Lizzie talking about her life and just, like, talking about it and putting it online and gaining viewers. Yeah. And so the way that she tells stories about other people is through costume theater. It's, like, a really fun part of this adaptation is how she just talks about her story and involves these other people.
Well, and it's also how she involves the other characters without having them on screen, like we were saying.
Yeah, exactly.
So we never see Mrs. Bennet, we never see Mr. Bennet, we never see Lady Catherine or Anne.
Who's the dog?
Who's the dog in this version? We'll get to that. But so you instead you see them as characterizations? No, what's the word? Caricatures.
Yes. They are caricatures of themselves.
Of themselves through Lizzie Bennet's costume theater.
And so with this, usually she'll, like, recruit whoever she can grab. Like, Jane will be in there with her. Maybe Lydia will join in with costumes in order for her to, like, recreate something that had happened in her life that day.
And I love how she hands them scripts.
Yes, she has, like, written these scripts. And, like, her sister's always like, is this really what happened? And Lizzie just goes, I never forget.
I forget nothing.
So what are these costumes that she makes everyone wear for these?
All right. Mrs. Bennet. Imagine, if you will.
Very southern lady.
Very southern. Blue Easter hat, the kind you would wear to be that obnoxious person at the opera or the theater. A colorful shawl and very large pearls.
And then Mr. Bennet, he has a pipe, like kind of like a fedora hat,
mm-hmm.
and then just a blue plaid scarf.
For Bingley, I'm going to say Bingley. I refuse to say Bing Lee. There is a difference.
Yeah, let's take a quick pause right there and explain that.
No, you explain it. I refuse.
Okay, so in this adaptation, Bingley is Bing space Lee, Lee being his last name. So they are the Lees.
So yeah. First of all, I have issues with the naming of the child Bing. Who names their child Bing? Is it short for Benjamin? Is his name Benjamin Lee? I hope so, because Bing is a horrible first name. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Thank you for inviting me. Anyway.
So yeah, so for Bing, he is a med student at when we are first introduced to him. So he has a stethoscope and then that headband with the little reflective circular disc. I don't think it's a headlamp. I'm gonna call it a headlamp.
And I do love later in the series when we see Caroline, she's just like, you know they don't use these anymore, right?
Yeah.
Okay, our next character is Jane. She is shown as just having a little pink flower in her hair.
For Lizzie's costume, when someone else portrays Lizzie, it is a blue plaid shirt and some sort of notebook.
And then Darcy, I think, is the best costume in this.
Darcy is the best costume, and I now have a Darcy costume in Animal Crossing, I hope you know.
Thank you, I appreciate that. So Darcy is wearing a Newsies hat and a bow tie.
Caroline Lee, so Bingley's sister, she gets sunglasses and a black scarf because she's moody and cool.
And then Wickham just has goggles.
Because he's a swimmer in
this
version.
He's a swimmer. He's a swim coach in this.
Yeah, we get to see his abs on multiple occasions.
Oh, God. That's just some fan service right there.
That's all it is fan service.
And Lizzie literally, just like, she tells the audience that. She's like, hey, Wickham, you know my view skyrocketed when you took your shirt off last episode?
And he goes, oh, really? Or something.
You want me to do it again?
No. No, 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 no. I like we're introduced to him, and it's just a perfect view of his ass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to.
Anyway, so for Gigi, which is how Darcy says it in this, she gets the Darcy hat, so the Newsies hat, but it's the Darcy hat with Jane's flower, and that indicates Gigi.
And also, another thing you might have noticed in previous episodes, we always call Georgiana Gigi. This is where that comes from.
Yeah.
It's because she goes by Gigi in this, and Darcy says Gigi with a little zhuzh, and we found that really funny, so that's how we refer to her usually. And our last costume.
No, there's one more after this.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
But this one, shown only once at the end of the series, is Charlotte, who is portrayed with a purple beanie and a binder that says Charlotte costume in all caps.
Admittedly, one of the best. I'd like to raise you the Fitz costume worn by Darcy, which is just an afro from the theater or costume department of Pemberley Digital.
Anyway, those are all of Lizzie's costumes that she uses for costume theater, which is very fun.
All right, differences between the book version of the Bennet family and this version. All right, Kitty is a cat. Mary's a cousin. The parents are never shown. Mr. Bennet likes trains.
Yeah, so basically it's interesting in this series because they really decide we're only going to show three Bennet sisters. We're going to have Lizzie, we're going to have Jane, and we're going to have Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really want to boil it down and focus on these, like, family relationships, and especially the relationships between the sisters, which is a big thing in the series, which I really appreciate. I do want to cover Lydia later that we can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The redemption of one Lydia Bennet, which I am very, like, into in this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as Kaylee mentioned, Kitty is an actual cat that's not really mentioned. She is Lydia's cat. And Mary is their cousin.
Same question, but with Charlotte.
I mean, it's Charlotte.
It's Charlotte. Charlotte doesn't really change all that much.
She's more assertive. She's more, like, focused on her goals.
Yes. Did we get into the yes, it's a YouTube series, but within this YouTube series, what each character is doing?
What do you mean by that?
Like, why is Lizzie making these videos? Why is Charlotte also in these videos? What are their goals? Yeah. Like, that kind of stuff.
I mean, it starts out for fun for Lizzie. It turns into something more than that, which we will get into down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But for Lizzie, like, she starts this for fun.
Mm-hmm. Collins.
Ricky Collins.
Not Richard. Which is interesting. They changed his name.
Yeah, they did.
It was William Collins. There's too many Williams.
Because they changed Fitzwilliam Darcy to William Darcy.
Yeah.
But, so it's Ricky Collins. He grew up with Lizzie. They went to, like, elementary school together. And now he has struck it big with a media company called Collins & Collins.
Which was him and his first investor, which was his father.
And then also his venture capitalist, Catherine DeBerg.
And her tiny dog.
Annikins.
Which I can't get over. And as I have a tiny dog next to me who kind of fits Annikins' description.
Okay, moving on, we have the Lees, which Kaylee will continue to refer to as the Bingleys because it makes more sense.
Yes. You got Bing, you got Caroline, and
that's it. I mean, once again, a lot of adaptations do this where they cut out, like, Mrs. Hurst and the rest of his sisters.
Which is fine. It's too many people to keep track of, especially when you can't go back and reference it as you would in a book.
Yeah.
So that
it's understandable.
Makes more sense.
A lot of adaptations do this.
Mm-hmm.
Next family.
The Darcys. Yeah, why don't you take it, hun?
Well, we got William Darcy, and then we got Gigi, and that's it. But I don't know. Do we want to talk about Darcy and what he does right now, or do we want to get into that a little later? Like, do we want to start getting into plot?
Yes, but I was going to say, like, between the Darcys, they seem a lot closer in this adaptation.
Oh, definitely. I love it.
There's definitely more sibling type banter. There's a little
Gigi is a scheming person. Oh. She just wants Lizzie and Darcy to be together, and it's so cute. She forces them into a room together.
Okay, last but not least, Wickham. He's a swimmer, and that's why he travels for competitions, because he's a coach. He's the 25-year-old preying on the 18-year-olds.
Yes.
You know the ones. That's what it is.
He drinks a lot, he parties, he does flings with a bunch
eyeliner.
Of girls. Does he?
He does.
Oh.
Didn't you notice?
No.
He wears eyeliner. I don't think it's a costume or a makeup choice. I think
Hey, Kaylee, I was too busy looking at his abs. Okay, anyway.
All right, so we've covered Wickham. All right, now let's cover major plot points. First things first, what do the characters do aside from, you know, exist as characters? Because in this world, it's modern, which means women have jobs.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So, lots of different things.
Let's start with Lizzie and Jane.
Yes, so Lizzie is a 24-year-old grad student studying mass communications.
And Jane is?
She's a fashion designer.
Good for her.
I don't know if she's a fashion designer, but she works in fashion.
She works in fashion. Because, yeah. Like, she does designing at the end.
Yes.
Because that's why she moves to New York. But I think she's working
Spoilers.
For... Whatever. But she's in, like, a startup for a while.
Mm-hmm. And then Lydia... Another thing to note, because, like, I said Lizzie is 24 in this, and that's obviously aged up. Lydia is also aged up. She is 20 in this, and she turns 21 in the course of the show.
Yep. Yeah. So she's in community college.
Yes.
It looks like Mary, who is the cousin in this version, is also in college, community college.
And then Charlotte is also, I assume she's also studying mass communications with Lizzie?
She must be, or she's already graduated.
Yes, she's around the same career path as Lizzie.
Yeah.
So going right into it, I guess we'll just skip to Collins. As I mentioned, Ricky Collins, he runs Collins & Collins, which is an entertainment industry. They do, like, how-to videos, different things like that.
How to change your illumination globes.
What is it? Winter Squash is coming? What was that? Game of Gourds.
Game of Gourds, yeah.
They're recording Game of Gourds. So that's, like, what he does.
We should also cover what Darcy does, and because that comes into play. So, through the course of events and in pursuing her master's, Lizzie ends up taking internships at various places to get experience through...
She's, like, basically designing her own curriculum during independent studies.
Yes. Thank you. And Darcy, in this, much like Ricky, who is the head of his company, Darcy is the head of his own company that was, I guess, started by his father? I could be wrong.
He inherited it.
He's
the youngest CEO. What's the company called?
The company is called Pemberley.
Pemberley Digital.
But Pemberley. It's a very high-tech place. Everyone likes to work there. It's
They do a lot of, like, whereas... Collins & Collins focuses on more, like, instrumental, it's not, you know,
instructional
videos. Pemberley Digital focuses on, like, app development.
Mm-hmm. So tech companies are a big thing because of what everyone is actually accomplishing along the sidelines of all of this plot that is familiar to Austin's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with Colin's proposal, he comes back to visit his hometown because he is packing up his mother's house after his mother's passed away. And so he starts trying to reconnect with Lizzie and her family because they were childhood friends. And he learns about her videos and, like, sees what she's doing. And he asks a lot of questions about, like, her audience size and all the statistics. And Lizzie's like, get away from me. So his proposal is he asks her to be, instead of, like, a wedding proposal, it's asking her to be his partner in his company.
Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah. Business partner and equal to him kind of thing. Help run run the company. But the downside is she would have to abandon her studies in order to take the position. And Lizzie decides that that is not something she wants to do. She wants to get her master's. She wants to go through with school and do things on her own. So she turns him down.
And instead, he goes and talks to Charlotte, because Charlotte at this point has been editing Lizzie's videos for her, and she's been around, like, the entire steps of the way. So she also knows a lot about this process and has very different career goals than Lizzie. So she accepts his proposal to be business partners because she sees it as, like, advancing her career.
Mm-hmm. And it proves to be a good move in the end. But we'll get to that.
Yes, it does.
All right,
so that's how that goes down. I want to talk about between this is Netherfield.
That's what I was about to say. Netherfield.
Yeah. So Netherfield is a mansion, of course.
Who names their house? And how they work out Jane and Elizabeth staying there is their house goes under renovation. Their mom, dad, and Lydia go to stay with their cousins, I think.
Yeah, so they stay with Mary.
They stay with Mary and her family.
Yeah, and Jane just asks Bing and is like, hey. And Bing's like, oh, I feel so bad. Come in, please. And then Jane's like, what about Lizzie? And he's like, yeah, come on.
We love Lizzie.
And it's here we get our first look at Caroline and Bing. We get to see them on screen.
You get to see them on screen.
I find Caroline's character in this to be so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She's very manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty obvious to the viewer at the beginning, like, she's acting off.
Yeah. So Caroline is clearly a manipulative type character to the audience, but it seems that to the other characters,
they don't pick up on it.
They don't pick up on it, which is interesting.
Basically, Lizzie doesn't tell a lot of people about her video diaries. It's really like her sisters know, Charlotte knows, Ricky finds out, and Caroline finds out when they stay at Netherfield, and she's like, oh, I won't tell Bing. I won't tell him, like, about everything that's happened in it revolving around him and Darcy. I'll keep it to myself as long as I can be a part of it. And we find out later it's also because she wants to put herself in a positive light, because Lizzie may have portrayed her a little negatively in the past. So Caroline's trying to, like, push her own narrative and make herself look better than she is. But I also really love at Netherfield how sweet Bing and Jane are. It's very much they're in love. It's very sweet.
It's very cute.
Because Jane gets sick at Netherfield, like, in what is usually the plot. Mm-hmm. And then Bing is like, oh, I'm going to go buy her a movie because we can't go out. And I'm going to, like, get her a stuffed animal. And it's really cute.
He's very sweet. And then there's that whole thing. She's like, oh, no, I think you only have 7 to 8 decades to live. That whole flirting scene.
I'm a med student. You can trust me.
You see, there's actually a lot, like, relative to the book, there's a lot more interactions between just Jane and Bing.
Yes, and I appreciate it.
Which I love, especially, I want to talk about it at the end. The Bingley-Jane proposal.
Mm-hmm.
That portion of the video diaries.
Understandable.
Yes.
I really love that, but yes, we will get there. Yeah, really just casually adding on before we talk about this later, the endings and how they end every character's arc is really great, and I love it so much. Anyway.
Moving on.
Netherfield happens. Darcy's there. We don't see Darcy. All we know is Lizzie still thinks he's an ass.
Yep.
Whatever. We know this. So Lizzie goes to Collins and Collins to, like, see what's going on, start her internships.
Mm.
Got nothing much to talk about there.
No. Not Caroline. Charlotte, after accepting the internship, goes, moves. Lizzie misses her. Lizzie goes to visit Collins and Collins, and Charlotte convinces her to do an internship, write a review, make it, like, an independent study thing, and then it goes off from there, kind of. Lizzie decides, yes, okay, doing four different companies for four independent studies kind of thing. And so she starts with Collins and Collins and Charlotte. And that's where we find out that Collins' venture capitalist is Lady Catherine. And then we find out at the dinner that she has with Collins and Charlotte and obviously Lady Catherine that Darcy is the nephew or what have you. And so that whole arc gets started. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then we get eventually
episode 59. It's actually episode 60. It's the very last seconds of episode 59 that introduced Darcy. The line is just, excuse me, Lizzie, and then episode ends. So, context. As I've said, we don't see Darcy at all. And how he's introduced is Lizzie is just doing her regular episode. She's in the Collins and Collins office. There's a knock on the door. It opens. And we see Darcy from the neck down. And he just goes, excuse me, Lizzie. And then Lizzie just looks straight in the camera. Episode ends. And let me tell you, as someone who's watching this when it came out, that was an excruciating wait. We got two episodes a week, 3 days in between them. We had to wait 3 days, not even knowing if we were going to see Darcy's face. Like, a lot of us thought they were just going to keep doing this thing and teasing us and not showing us Darcy's face. It was torture.
Excuse me, Lizzie.
Darcy.
I'm sorry to have caused you so much pain. I should have acted differently. I was unaware of your feelings towards me.
You were unaware? Then why don't you watch my videos?
What videos?
There are a bunch of similarities between this particular quote-unquote proposal and the one done in 2005.
Oh, definitely. It's also, like, similar to the book. Obviously, yeah. It's changed of not a marriage proposal, but a love. Like, I'm in love with you.
What I meant was acting-wise, not necessarily word-wise, but acting-wise. The intonation, the stress, the kind of...
I mean, they do a great job.
Oh, yeah, they do an excellent job. It wasn't a criticism. It was just noticing of the similarities.
And then, obviously, at the end, and why don't you watch my videos... This is a big moment because Darcy isn't aware of her video diaries.
Nope, not in the slightest.
And so he goes and watches them after this. So for the rest of the series, Darcy has context of what Lizzie has said about him.
See, that's one of the interesting things that happens in this series is that in the book, in other versions, Darcy has no idea necessarily, aside from what she says to him in person and... like at the dances or the equivalent of the dances or in her response to his first proposal. Darcy has no idea what Lizzie really thinks of him, what she said about him, what he said about him to other people. And in this version, he gets everything.
He sees every single thing she said about him.
And maybe not necessarily in real life, but definitely on camera. He gets context for everything. He knows exactly what she feels about him. And then he also sees Jane and how Jane behaves when she's with Lizzie and her sisters. And
it's so interesting that we get that in this version because we actually get Darcy seeing that Jane was in love with Bing and actually seeing her, like, he sees her talk about Bing in the videos. And it's very obvious that she cares about him deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another, like, a really true moment of him going, I've screwed up. But yeah, it's very interesting and I love it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I've watched that episode way too many times.
Okay, so this version also gets a letter. It is handwritten.
What I love is we are not actually told the contents of the letter for a long time.
Yes.
Because in this version, Lizzie is very conscious of the fact she's speaking to an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so she says, like, the things in this letter are not things that I want to tell you because they are secrets that are not mine to share. And so we slowly gain context of what the letter is over the rest of the episodes in the series.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. And one of my favorite things with the letter and how it's dealt with in this, which I should talk about later once we get to Pemberley, but I think we're almost at Pemberley anyway.
Yeah, we're almost at Pemberley.
So it's fine. Whatever. I'll talk about it now. So Gigi, she is a graphic designer at Pemberley from context. I love her so much. She sits down with Lizzie and she says, I've seen your videos. I want to, like, tell my story and put it straight so that your viewers understand everything. Because at this point, Lizzie has told her viewers a bit about what was in the letter about...
Hypothetically
about Darcy and Wickham. But she has not mentioned Gigi at all. And Gigi says, like, I've noticed you didn't talk about my side of the story, and I want to tell it. And it, like, it puts the agency in her hands.
Mm-hmm. Something that women originally, especially in Austin time, didn't have. So, yeah.
Because we all know what Gigi is referring to as her and Wickham.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love how this version gives Gigi the chance to tell the story herself.
All hail women with agency.
Just wait till we get into Lydia.
Well, I mean, that's the next thing on the
list. I mean,
list.
We're at Pemberley now.
Yeah. Hi, welcome to Pemberley Digital. We have napping pods, which are mentioned.
There is a rooftop pool.
There is a rooftop pool. There is lots of coffee, from what I heard. Gigi is a horrible tour guide. What else is important?
As a tour guide myself, I have sympathy for her.
Yeah.
While I've not had to lead a tour of kids yet, because I do know elementary schools do visit our campus, I have led a tour of a bunch of high school boys who made it their job to make me uncomfortable. So that was fun. I've told you about that, haven't I?
Yeah, I know the story. I was there. Yeah. I was going to say I was there when it happened, but I was...
You were not on the tour.
I was not on the tour, but you told me right after it happened.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Mm.
So, Pemberley. What do you want to talk about Pemberley?
Lizzie is super impressed, I was going to say.
This is the turning point in Lizzie and Darcy's relationship. We know this, like, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Through every adaptation, that's true. But the way the relationship turns in this, it's very sweet. Like, in the book, it's like, oh, your housekeeper had great things to say and all your servants love you. And this is like, your employees actually are proud of you and like you a lot.
Mm-hmm. And your sister is very fun. And...
yeah, to her it means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we start seeing them interact more. Darcy's on camera more since he knows about her videos now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sweet.
And he's not as awkward, which I think helps, because it's clear from the first interaction in that proposal that Darcy is a very awkward person. He's not he's not this confident CEO type like Collins is. Collins is very confident in himself to the point almost destructive extent, but like he engages with people. He knows that he should know about what he's talking about, even though he doesn't, but he does that outreach kind of thing. And Darcy's just like, I'm going to sit over here in a corner and have you approach me. And if I'm uncomfortable, my chin shall recede into my neck. And I shall tip my newsy hat downward.
But then we slowly, like, get context for them becoming actual friends. We get reference to them, like, what is it? They go out to the park for lunch? Like, it's Gigi, Fitz, and Darcy, and they go out and do something on the weekend.
Yes.
I think they show her around town.
Yes, it's the showing around town.
Yeah. So we start getting, like, these small mentions of them spending time together with Gigi there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sweet. And then you do see the relationship turning. And that one part that I told you before we started, I have a note in my own notes doc, which is, this is the same as the hand clench in 2005. Which is that one episode. Did I write down the episode number? Let's find out. Episode 83.
Okay.
In case you want an actual number. They're sitting right next to each other talking. Lizzie gets up to go close the door because Darcy left it open. And she puts her hand on his shoulder while she stands up. And he freezes and looks right into the camera, like, big-eyed. And it's so cute because it's his moment of, she's touching me, what is this? It's very sweet. Uh-oh, did I lose Kaylee?
Did you see my lights flicker?
Might have lost Kaylee. Rip. You know, I love when Kaylee's internet is just really bad and she just drops out of our calls. I'm just gonna, like, send her an emoji. What do y'all think's a good emoji to send your co-host when they are not responding? Oh, yep, she's gone. I don't know, just like a gun? I'm gonna send her a gun emoji. Okay.
How dare you send me a gun just because my power went out?
Welcome to part two, because Kaylee's power went out.
It was fun.
Hey, what were we talking about? We were at Pemberley.
Yes, we were at Pemberley. Digital, what are we? Oh, yes. So they're becoming friends now, and then...
So we all know the Lydia letter's coming. But
yeah.
Right before Lizzie gets a text in this, Darcy attempts to ask her out on a date.
And it's very cute.
And it's so freaking cute. Because he's just like, well, Gigi and I have an opera box. Would you like to go to the opera? And she's just like, oh, I'd love to. It's Gigi. Like, and she asks about Gigi. And he's like, well, Gigi won't be coming. But it's a sweet moment of him trying to figure out how to ask her out, and it's really cute.
It's very sweet.
And then she gets interrupted by the text and the call with Charlotte. Was it Charlotte or Jane?
Charlotte. Charlotte tried to call her 57 times.
She was getting a new phone.
Yeah.
So what happens with Lydia in this version?
So in this version, first of all, if you're only watching just the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, you have no idea what's going on with Lydia.
Yes. The one thing to know is Lydia has her own vlog. That is actually true for a lot of the series. Like, you have a few videos of Charlotte at Collins and Collins before Lizzie gets there. There are some videos with Gigi that are separate from the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. And so it's also true of Lydia that she has her own vlog.
Mm-hmm. And so you can watch those in a nice big playlist or watch them after the fact. In my case, I watched them alongside while watching the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. But if you're just straight up watching just Lizzie Bennet, then you have no idea what's happening. So previously, we kind of mentioned Wickham. He's a swimmer. He comes to town. And the second time we see him, he and Lizzie end up starting to hang out. They're not exclusive, as she says, but kind of dating. They break up. Pemberley, welcome to this situation. Lydia clearly admired Wickham for his physique.
Oh, yeah. The reason we see his abs is she intentionally spills water on him.
Mm-hmm. So, with that, Lydia and Wickham get together. Something happens. How PG are we keeping this, hun?
I mean, let's just go for it, because okay. It's kind of hard to talk about without it.
Lydia, in this version, is a very active young lady.
She's like your stereotypical party girl and, like, yep. Boy crazy girl.
Boy crazy, likes to drink, likes having...
Relations
with other people. And Wickham ends up being one of these other people. Wickham is this manipulative ass.
He is.
Which we really see, but Lydia clearly doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else really sees it. And I think it's because of that power difference that is obviously apparent between a 15-year-old and a 20-year-old, or a 22-year-old, however old Wickham is in the book. But here, it's also just as apparent, even though the age gap is smaller. Wickham has almost complete control over Lydia and what she's thinking, because he uses her family relations against her. And it's that stereotypical abusive relationship. He's just like, oh, if you go see them, you don't really love me. And Lydia is so bent on proving herself to Wickham that she ignores her family, ignores school, mm-hmm. and... is just like all because she had a big fight with Lizzie prior to this, so she's trying to prove Lizzie wrong. Yada yada yada, manipulative ass.
And it all culminates to
Lydia thinking she has to prove that she loves him
by letting him record them having sex.
And then Wickham turns around, says the video is stolen, and there's a countdown clock where you buy rights to see the video.
Now, here's something interesting that you wouldn't know having watched this after it aired. This website did exist.
Mm-hmm.
It was the LydiaBennetTape.com, and on it said, "See YouTube star Lydia Bennet reveal everything." And it did have a countdown timer. So it was an actual website that existed. Full immersion. But obviously,
the video doesn't actually exist. It's just the thing. But so this is the whole running away with Wickham is actually, oh, crap, there's a tape of me on the internet. That's forever. And at first, Lizzie and it seems like a majority of people think
they blame Lydia. They assume Lydia's done this on purpose.
Or that she knew about it. And yes. When it's revealed, obviously... just crashes. She crumbles. She was not aware. Lizzie feels bad. That much is evident.
It's like this whole thing, because Lizzie has not spoken to Lydia since mm-hmm. Christmas at this point, and this is nearing the end of the story. I don't remember exactly when this came out,
mm-hmm.
but it's a thing, like, they haven't been involved in each other's lives, and it's really the turning point of their relationship
mm-hmm.
is when Lizzie comes home and Lydia finds out about everything, and Lizzie becomes, like, big sister mode activated, basically. And it's, like, the big moment of them starting to try to repair the relationship while Lizzie's also, like, trying to help Lydia through this awful thing that has happened.
Right. again, if you're watching tandem videos, you find out that Gigi finds out about all this, and she and Fitz take steps to take down the video. It's not just Darcy tracking down Wickham. Gigi has her own part to play.
Once again, giving women agency in their own story.
Heck yeah!
Because Gigi has interacted with Wickham in the past, so for her, this is also a big thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Face your fears, etc.
Yeah. Basically, long story short, it culminates in Darcy buying the company that owns the tape and having it shut down and removed from the internet.
And when that happens, Lydia, like, comes and interrupts Lizzie's video and says it's gone. And then there's crying, I think. And It's just sweet.
My favorite quote from that part is just when Lydia and Lizzie are finally talking face to face after everything is solved. Lizzie says, "I didn't really know you, I guess." And Lydia replies, "I didn't really let you, and I'm sorry." Mm-hmm. And it is like that moment of their sisters. Hey, let's talk about the redemption of one Lydia Bennett.
Redemption of one Lydia Bennett? Let's go. You know more.
This is something I feel very passionate about in this one series in particular.
Take it away, my dear.
So as we've seen in like every adaptation in the book itself, like Lydia doesn't get a redemption arc. She is a naive 15-year-old girl who is like boy crazy and elopes with an officer and sees nothing wrong with that. End of story. And that's her entire arc. She doesn't learn from any mistake she makes. In the Lizzie Bennett Diaries, she does learn from her mistakes. She grows as a person. She starts the series as this very, like, boy crazy girl. She's a party girl. She drinks. She does drugs. She's underage, and she still drinks. Because, like, there's a big plot line of her becoming 21 and finally having, like, a huge party and drinking. But when things start going down with Wickham and, like, her sisters are there for it, she starts to change and realize what she's been doing. And, like, not really, like, realizing she has to grow up, but, like, realizing how she's acted and how it has somewhat led to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the blame is not on her for what happened with Wickham. Not at all.
Mm-mm.
But it's still, like, she understands what part she played. And we see her change a lot from that moment on and, like, realize, like, family's important to her. Her sisters are important to her. She wants to get to know them better and spend more time with them. Because, like, she feels like she's missed out on that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way it's dealt with. I love that she is given the chance to better herself in this and become more than just the boy crazy girl we know.
Right.
So that's something I really appreciate.
Good job, Lydia Bennett.
Good job, Lydia. I'm proud of you.
And good job, writers, for writing that in.
Yes.
What do we have left?
We got Bing and Jane, and then Darcy and Lizzie, and then Lizzie's whole degree.
As all of this Lydia shenanigans is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does Lizzie come home, but Jane also comes home. And in doing so...
Because Jane has been in LA hoping that she will run into Bing, and she's still working because she got transferred to a store in LA. Okay, that's context. Yes.
Much like how she visited London in the book.
Yeah.
She comes back from LA, and it's revealed that her manager said, if you leave, there will not be a job waiting for you when you get back. So, Jane has lost her job. She's now back at home. So, all three Bennett sisters are back where they began. They're kind of in parallel to how they began the series, where all three Bennett sisters are still living at home, working on their own things, but that kind of thing. Only difference is they're all very much changed from where they started. So, Lydia is sobered in her dealings with boys. Pun not intended. Lizzie no longer really holds that grudge towards Darcy, though she does not know yet what he has done. And Jane, I guess, is a little less naive, if that's fair to say,
mm-hmm.
in terms of dealing with Bingley and Caroline and all of that. So then all of this goes down, the sisters are back, and then there's a knock at the door. Knock at the door, Charlotte's back, Charlotte comes to visit Lizzie. All right. Next up.
Very off topic, but we have not mentioned the fact that Mr. Collins has a fiance who lives in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
We're not. I have been in Winnipeg, Manitoba. She's real. Is she real? We're not sure.
We don't learn anything else about the fiance.
Nope.
Okay, anyway, sorry.
Knock number two at the door. Guess who it is?
Me. This is why we don't get anything done. Hey, you're the one who always says potatoes.
That's a fair point. Have I said that this episode? No! You are the one who says potatoes.
Anyway, Bingley is there.
He brings gift baskets.
Yeah, it's very sweet. He asked to see Jane. Lizzie asks Jane. Jane doesn't want to see him. But she changes her mind. They sit down and they talk.
And here's my favorite part.
Take it away.
I could only go so far because I've only seen it twice. But my favorite part about this adaptation is we actually see what would be the proposal scene between Bingley and Jane in this version. You don't see it in the book. You don't see it in the movies. It's always
behind closed doors.
And this we get to see on camera, and it's
just because
cute.
Lizzie left her camera on and she's currently filming in their like den, their family room.
Yeah.
And that's where they sit down. So convenient.
So we actually get to see that, and it's just cute.
Would you like to tell us about it?
No, you can tell us about it because you probably have notes.
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. Okay. I didn't take notes on that part. This is just proposal to Electric Boogaloo is the only note I have for this entire section. I can tell you what happens. Like, I know what happens. They talk. They decide they want to be friends again and just take it from square one because they are different people than they were when they first met because they've had all this time apart. There's time in between this because other things happens. Jane gets accepted into a job in New York. She brings this up with Bing. It's the entire thing of Jane saying, I'm going to move to New York for my job. And then Bing goes, hey...
And Jane goes, no, don't ask me to stay. This is an incredible opportunity, and I'm not turning it down just for you, who broke my heart, yada, yada, yada. And Bing's just like, no, 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 I want to come with you. And he's just like, I don't really care what my family says. Thing goes into is Bing realizes he's taking his agency back from his sister and Darcy, and he's making his decisions. He's not just following what his family sets up for him. He's not just following what his sister says. He's making his own decisions based on his own opinions, which is he likes Jane, he doesn't like med school, and he would like to follow Jane to New York. They basically make up. Bing asks Jane for a second chance, and Jane, like, confirms in New York.
If we do this,
come with you to New York.
It wouldn't be coming with me. Okay, you would have to get your own place and I would get mine. That's the first rule.
Yeah, rules. Rules are good.
We're different people now. I'm going for my career. For my life.
And I would be going for mine too.
You want to get into Darcy?
You can get into Darcy.
Charlotte's over. They're celebrating their birthday because apparently Charlotte and Lizzie share a birthday in this.
Which we love.
They have ordered Chinese food. There's a knock at the door. Charlotte goes to answer this. Someone starts walking into the room and Lizzie goes, oh, do you need money for a tip? And she turns around and she goes, you're not Chinese. And Darcy walks into frame and says, no, but I see the confusion.
I thought you were Chinese.
I can understand the confusion. Lizzie, I still feel the same way I felt back in the fall. More strongly even than I did then. So if you just want to be friends or say thank you for recent events, then that.
And then she interrupts him with a kiss.
That went well.
They get together.
It's cute.
So what happens after this? Like, how do we resolve all of her plot lines?
Welcome to episode 99.
So Lizzie's plans for the future. Mm-hmm. She's decided she was going to shadow three companies, Collins & Collins, Pemberley Digital, and a third one.
Fourth.
Four.
Yeah.
I thought she was the third.
She did Collins. She shadowed the one in England. Online, then she did Pemberley, and then she's doing her own company. Yeah.
So her professor/advisor, Dr. Gardner,
love that,
allows her to use her fourth shadowing as shadowing her own company, air quotes here, of the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. And so she's going to be, like, writing up a report about her business strategies and what the plan would be for her audience following moving forward, and, like, kind of turning what she's been doing this entire year into her own company. And that's cool. So Darcy basically asks if she wants to work for him and move to San Francisco with him. And she says, no, because I want to be a competitor. I'm going to be creating my own company, my own media company, and competing against you, basically, because she doesn't want to be the girl dating the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, agency!
Yay! And Darcy says, okay. But a great place to start that is in San Francisco. And Lizzie goes, you're right. And then Darcy goes, and you're gonna need a place to crash while you apartment hunt. And Lizzie goes, you're right.
And so that is how Lizzie's storyline kind of ends, with her deciding to create her own media company, moving to San Francisco to start this company.
And that's all we really hear about it in the traditional Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
Yeah. So that's somewhat the end, question mark? That's the end of the actual series. There are a couple bonuses. And of course, we have the not spinoffs, but like optional vlogs by Gigi, Lydia,
Charlotte.
Who else we got? Charlotte. And then there are like bonus episodes, which are Lizzie and Darcy responding to questions by students of Dr. Gardner, which are really cute because one of them's like actual questions and the other episode's just relationship questions where they're just like, should we actually answer these? It's really funny.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Any other thoughts you want to say about the Lizzie Bennet Diaries?
Traditional, not the extras, because I watched the extras and holy crap, I haven't seen those before and they were very cute.
Another fun fact, I guess you're talking about the future, but I want to talk about like bonus episodes in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Is the question and answer episodes.
Oh,
which are
not part
of the actual formal series. But as I mentioned in the beginning, this was coming out 2 episodes a week and it ran for a year. And so there was like a big audience following and like the fandom was mostly just YouTube-based, like YouTube comments and like video responses were still a thing in 2012 YouTube. So that's like where everything was based. So Lizzie would do these question and answer videos where fans would ask her questions as the character Lizzie and like she would respond to them in videos, which I think they were fun.
Yeah, the interaction between obviously the actors and their characters and their actual audience.
Yes.
Is
there's
so
a lot
cool.
Of interaction.
It's so cool. The fact that they had or have like actual like other social medias aside from YouTube like posted and actually linked to on their page. Like that whole thing is really cool. And then same thing with like the other channels that interacted with Lizzie Bennet, like Gigi's channel and Lydia's channel, they also linked back to Lizzie's channel. Because it's all connected.
It's like an immersive story.
It's really, really cool.
And it's the benefit of having something web-based like this. If it was an actual TV show on like, I don't know, on cable or like even on Netflix, you wouldn't have these interactions and be able to see the different viewpoints of the story by going to a different series. It's something that's very special to social media and YouTube in particular. I don't know. I don't know if we've done the show justice on the way we're speaking about it, but I do want to like say again, the Lizzie Bennet Diaries is an experience to watch. It is a fantastic adaptation that does a great job like translating Regency era to modern day and keeping the story and its core values the same while having it be different with the era. Like we've talked about the agency and women in this adaptation, how great that is. And like, I really love this adaptation. Do you have any final thoughts, final words you want to say about the Lizzie Bennet Diaries?
Yes, I would like to say that while Lizzie's costume theater version of Darcy is on point, so is Fitz's description of Darcy as an agoraphobic lobster. Thank you and have a good night.
And with that, we're going to end our episode of the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. Thank you so much for listening and we will see you next time.
We won't see you. You'll hear us.
Stop it! Bye.